Folks, welcome once again to the Young Entrepreneur Mindset Podcast. I am your host, Angel, coming to you on this beautiful Monday. Yes, it is Monday. Happy Mindset Monday. And as usual, I invite you, if this is the first time, subscribe to the channel. Give it a like, follow. There's a lot more content there that you can follow as well, whether you're an entrepreneur, you're an artist, musician, actor, actress, whatever it is that you do, you're starting a business, you're thinking about starting a business, maybe you're thinking about doing a podcast, a YouTube channel, etc. Listen, I have a lot of content. A lot of guests have been on this platform to talk about their story, to talk about their ups and downs, their challenges they face during their upcoming as entrepreneurship, right? So today's guest, listen, tune in all the way to the end because I have a special guest today. And I want you to tune in all the way to the end. If you're listening on the audio download, thank you for taking the time to download the audio download on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora. Please give it a review, comment, leave whatever you can. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. Thank you to all the followers on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all those accounts. I'm going to have all my links on the description below. And also my guest, he's going to have his links as well, his website. You can follow him on all social media platforms as well. All right. So listen, today I have a guest. We're going to be talking a lot about sales. So if you're into sales, and I think all of us, one way or another, regardless, even this podcast is a sell. All right. I'm trying to sell my podcast. That's right. Because I'm trying to provide a service as well. And I'm trying to monetize it and sell, right, what I do. I mean, we're all in the sales business, regardless of what field you are in. I believe. And my guest here, I'm pretty sure he believes as well, that we are some way connected with some type of sales. Everything in life is about sales, all right? So today's guest, Dustin, he's a sales expert. That's what you consider him. He's a sales expert. He helps businesses to harvest more sales from their leads using his Fortune Follow-Up System. That's why today's topic is called the Fortune Follow-Up System. He's going to be talking about that and much more. And of course, his story. I mean, he has a sales system that doesn't make you feel like a slimy salesperson. I love that because, you know, sometimes we think that we could sell anything and we're very not organized, very slimy, but he has a system. He's developed a system. So tune in because he's going to be giving that and much more. All right, guys. So let's go ahead and welcome Mr. Dustin. How are you, sir?
Hey, how's it going? Excited to be here. Thank you, Angel. Yes, I love the way that you talked about how I approach sales because I think it's different than a lot of people think about sales. And that's something I didn't learn until later on. Yeah. So I'm excited, man. Let's do this.
Absolutely, man. I thank you. I appreciate your energy, man. Absolutely. And I know you have your podcast. We'll be talking about that too. You have your podcast. You have so much experience and I want you to share. But let's start first with your story. I like because I think people connect with one another in their stories. I thought it's very important that people share the story. And I know that your family immigrated from Egypt back in the 60s. And when I talked to us about that, and then you as a youngster came here with the American dream, and then you get to pro wrestling. I mean, you're such a great story, man. But I want to hear the story from the author himself, man. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, it's definitely unique. You don't meet a lot of pro wrestlers. And, you know, that's something that definitely it's helped shape who I am today. So, yeah, like the whole story about where we immigrated. Most people don't know this, but we all know what happened to the Jews in World War II. They were blamed for the economy and, you know, definitely went through a horrendous, you know, situation. Well, what most people don't know is just 20 years later in the 60s, Egypt did it again to the Jews. And they said, hey, you're the reason that our Egyptian economy is not, you know, doing well. So you must leave and you can only keep what you can fit in a suitcase. And so I was not alive. This is when my mom was a kid, but essentially she remembers just packing in clothes and some small trinkets and they left. And now their house was the property of the Egyptian government. And so they left and they fled to France. And then from there, they took a boat over to America and they landed in Ellis Island. And what's funny is they're even on the cover. They have the old newspaper clipping. Somebody was there from the newspaper saying, you know, here's some new immigrants landing. And they were the people that were taking a picture of. And so they have the newspaper that they were on the cover of. And so then they basically heard about the Golden Coast and wanted to get to California. So then they traveled even more. So think about how many places these people have traveled that we have it so easy. We can just hop on a plane. They had to go on boats and trains and cars and everything.
Yeah.
So when they get there, now they're thinking to themselves, what the heck are we going to do to make money? Because they didn't really have very many skill sets. And so they jumped into the swap meet marketplace, and they literally just bought things and sold them and set up tables, and they'd sell hats and wallets and shoes and all kinds of stuff. So that might be where I get my sales blood from, is haggling with people as they're walking by your setup. And so this is what my mom saw growing up. And so she really instilled in us, be grateful. You're in America. This is the land of freedom, of opportunity. Look at what happened to our family in another country. This is the best country in the world, and do not, you know, take that for granted. And so that's something I've carried with me my whole life. Fast forward, I'm your average teenager playing video games, watching pro wrestling. You know, it's the 90s, and I'm, you know, not taking very good care of myself either. I'm packing on a bunch of weight and just sitting down a lot. And so I'd see these big muscular Hulk men on TV. I'm like, man, I would love to be in shape like that. And one day a buddy invites me to the gym, and that is where I get bit by the iron bug. I get addicted to lifting and working out, and I transform my body. I lose 60 pounds of body fat, and I start training in the gym regularly and making it part of my lifestyle. So I was actually being set up for my next encounter with another mentor who said, hey, I have a ring in my backyard, and we get together every day after school and we do backyard wrestling. And I said, holy cow, I'm in shape. I've been watching this. This is it. This is my opportunity. So if any of you guys were watching the news in the 90s, there was all these kids doing dumb things, throwing themselves through tables and drywall. I was part of that group. Yeah. Luckily, no injuries. We're all okay. But eventually I got properly trained and became an actual pro wrestler, because a backyard wrestler is not a pro wrestler. And so went forward, did that for 10 years. And that is definitely, you know, a part of who I am. So very colorful background, from, you know, immigrant family to getting into pro wrestling. Yeah. And finally, when I, you know, didn't find that there was a big contract on the table, I decided to go with what my job was on the weekdays, and that was personal training. And I went and opened my first gym, and that's kind of what got me into the fitness industry and being an entrepreneur. So I decided that, hey, I love pro wrestling, but I felt like my chances were slim to go to the big time and work for Vince McMahon. So I decided to go to my other love, which was fitness, and to help other people get fit like I did.
Wow. That's awesome, man. So there was something about, in your story, they said that you started to sell tickets for main events. So was that something that you started practicing with your sales skills? Talk to us about that a little bit.
Yeah. So again, now when you love something, it doesn't feel like sales. And so that's something I always talk to people about that are afraid of sales, or they feel like it's icky. I'm like, do you really love this? Are you convicted by it? Because if you are, it shouldn't feel that way. If you feel slimy, there's something going on inside of you that is not authentic, and you need to explore that. So, you know, an example is like, hey, if you love this Netflix series, how hard is it for you to tell your friend to go watch it? You're like, you got to see this. It's awesome. There's all these plot twists. You know, there's this awesome scene on the episode 3. Do you feel salesy? Do you feel like you're being pushy? Do you feel like Netflix is going to send you a commission check if you do a good job? No, we're just like, we want our friend to experience what we experienced. And so if you love what you're selling, you should want every person walking the earth to experience what you have to offer, because you have this amazing thing. Yeah. So I'll say, first things first is check your product, check your service. If you don't believe in it, you need to make it awesome so you feel convicted when you go and sell it. When I was going out and doing these ticket sales, we would have to put flyers on cars. We have to be talking to people as they're coming out of the supermarket. And rejection after rejection. I must have got 200 no's before I sold a ticket. So what would make me still want to show up and do that every single week, every month for years, is because I love the show. And I honestly believed we had a great show. And I'll even pull up, and I'll stand by it to this day. I'll pull up YouTube clips and I'll show those to people. I'll say, wasn't this show awesome? Now you see why I was excited to go out and push these tickets out. And so that's what's missing, you know, in most people's sales process, is not a script, not a trick. It's conviction.
That's interesting. And you know what? We're always recommending, Dustin, because even if you go to a restaurant, whether you had a good experience or bad experience, you're going to tell people about it. You say, oh, man, listen, I would recommend this restaurant because the food is so awesome. The service is great. You're always recommending. But does that company pay you? Even if whether they pay you, they don't pay you, it doesn't matter. You're advertising for them. That's what I'm saying, that one way or another, we're always either selling something or we're expressing a way to sell something to somebody. So yes. What is this, the Fortune follow-up system that you created? Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So like, you know, obviously we said step one is first get convicted, and you're right. Sometimes you're selling a product or a service, but sometimes you're selling an idea. For example, Martin Luther King had nothing to sell when he said, I have a dream, but he was selling the idea. He was selling the vision. And so we as business leaders, we got to remind our team, what is the mission we're here to do? What is the vision? And I got to sell them on that and remind them, because they say you don't get burnt out, you forget on why you're doing what you're doing. And so that's what we need to, you know, if somebody comes and says, hey, boss, I'm burnt out. You got to now get excited about the mission and sell them on it and re-energize them, right? So sometimes you do sell product or service. Sometimes you sell an idea. And so whatever you're selling, you know, both of them come from that source is conviction. But the Fortune follow-up is something I teach to business owners. And that is essentially a system to harvest more sales from their business. And so we all get excited about new leads, right? Like, hey, I want these new leads. They're coming from my ads. I'm getting referrals. I'm getting organic DMs. They're great. But you need to have a system of how you strategically follow up with these people to get them to buy. And so it's a combination of two things: speed to lead and trust equals transactions. Okay, so I'll break this down. So first of all, speed to lead. When I am at a heightened state and I am agitated and I finally hit my breaking point where I want to buy what you have for sale, that's when I opt in. So the speed at which you can get to me immediately increases the chance of sale is going to happen. If you let someone opt in and you don't hit them till the next day, you've already killed your chances of selling them by 80%. You let it go to a week, you're even lower. Like, there's a very low chance you're going to sell that person. So think of it as when they opt in, a clock starts ticking. And the more that clock ticks, the colder they're getting. And so that is the first, speed to lead. Okay. Second is trust equals transaction. Now someone can say, well, Dustin, I hit them, you know, within 2 minutes of them opting in. I set up an auto text, or I called them, you know, I got a notification. I called them right there on the spot and they still didn't buy. And so I said, the second thing that we need after behind speed is that their trust needs to be established. And if I don't trust you, it doesn't matter how quickly you call me, the phone is a conversation's over. And so I say trust equals transactions, because when someone buys from you, they're basically saying, with money being the physical like representation of trust. Like, if I hand you $10, that means I trust you $10 worth. If I hand you $100, I say, I trust you $100 worth. And guess what? The more problems you solve and the more trustworthy you are, those dollar bills get bigger and bigger, right? What are you saying to a Lamborghini when you buy it? I trust you hundreds of thousands of dollars. You look like the man when I'm driving down the road, right? That's what I'm saying when I buy that. So the more that the person's spending, the more trust that needs to be there. So like, do I need an immense amount of trust to buy a 99 cent app or a $10, you know, like script? Like, no. But the more that price goes up, more trust needs to be built. So the way that you want to build that is, you brought this up earlier, is with a story. And so tell your story why you started the company. Tell your story of why you're excited about your mission. That connects people more than facts, and say like, hey, here's what we do. Here's our price. Here's how we can help you. You're not going to build trust with just stats. You need to have a story behind why you're doing what you do. And now people will connect. So that's the quickest way to establish trust. So those are two like hidden components. But now I'll dive into the actual Fortune follow-up system. So most people, they have a database of leads they've collected, and they're just simply not harvesting sales from it. They're just getting excited about their new leads, which is fine. The system we set up for them is what I call the 5x2 follow-up system. So 5x2, 5x2. When you get a new lead, you need to reach out to them 5 days straight, twice a day. So you do a text in the morning and then a call at night, a text in the morning, a call at night. And you repeat that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's very aggressive. You're hitting them 10 times in a week, but that's speed to lead. And that is the urgency you need to win their business, that you care, that you are reaching out to them quickly. So that's the first system in the Fortune follow-up, is the 5x2. So reach out to your new leads quickly and aggressively. The second is the 10% database blast. And so most businesses have like a big database. They keep accumulating emails. They keep accumulating phone numbers. And depending on how old the business is, depends on typically how big the database is. You know, a new business might have 100 leads and a 10-year-old business might have 20,000 leads. So the question I always pose is, who's ever called these old leads? Like, does anybody call these old numbers, or are you guys just focused on new? And most of the time they're focusing on just the new, and they've forgotten about all these old people that have opted in. And so I said, they're still very eligible customers. They just, maybe whatever you said just didn't spark their interest. Maybe they weren't in the right state of mind. Maybe they were in the right place financially, and now their situation has changed. They're making more money. So you got to send out offers to these people. And so the 10% database blast is every single day. I recommend taking 10% of your database and sending them a check-in text or an offer, either one. But it's like, hey, it's Dustin with Gym Reinforcements. I just want to check in with you. How's everything going in your business? And sometimes, you know, they'll kind of open up and say, I'm struggling with this, this, and this. Perfect. If you have a solution, you can dive in. Sometimes it's an offer. Hey, we're running a 50% off sale, but it's only for the next 2 days. Are you interested? Either one's fine. A check-in, an offer. It could be a free resource. If you have a free resource, you could just say, hey, got this free resource. Who wants it? But keep them warm, because that is just as good as new leads. And too many businesses disregard their old database and just get excited about new leads. So that's the second component. And that's, you know, where you hear the whole phrase, the fortunes in the follow-up. There's just not any follow-up. Like, you might get one text and then that's it. And I've experienced this. Have you ever experienced this, Angel, where you reached out to a business and then they didn't even call you back once? Have you ever seen that?
Pretty much. Yeah, absolutely.
We're putting a pool in. The person who got the contract was the fifth pool company I called, because the first three, I got zero follow-up. And the fourth guy, I got follow-up, but they were gapped by 1 week communication. So I would write him and then he'd reply a week later. Then I'd write him like same day, and then he'd write me back a week later. I was just like, I don't want to do this over the whole life of this pool job. So finally got to a fifth guy. The guy called me. He was at my house that day. He didn't even wait till tomorrow. He came over that day, came to his office. He had a whole 3D mock-up of how it's going to look and had a little camera pan around it. Totally took me through an experience. And that's why he won the contract. Amazing follow-up, made an experience, not a transaction. He's very relationship. And that is my experience recently with the pool. I can give you tens of other examples, but essentially most companies are missing sales just because they're just not having it back to their people who are reaching out to them. Right. And it's like a travesty. Third one I'll share with you, that's part of this whole system. Again, the umbrella name is the Fortune follow-up system. We have the 5x2 for your new leads. We have your 10% database blast. The final one is called the sale duplication system. And so what this is when you do make a sale, every person you sell, ask them after the payment has been processed for a referral right there on the spot. And people feel uncomfortable with it because they're like, well, I want them to kind of see my experience first. And I want them to, you know, let a couple of days go by. No. They are so excited that they made this decision. They're in this heightened state. It's the perfect time to ask for a referral.
They're hot. They're warm.
Yeah. And they're excited. They're starting to dream and they're starting to imagine their life is going to be better now. They made this amazing decision. So like in the gym business, when you sell somebody a 28-day challenge, now they run the credit card and it's done. And that we say the, oh, by the way, close. Oh, by the way, Mrs. Jones, we would love to have any of your friends, family, or your spouse do this challenge with you. You guys can be workout partners. You're going to hold each other accountable. And people stick with it when they see a familiar face in the gym. Who else do you know that would like to do this 28-day challenge with you? And we're seeing anywhere from 3 to 4 out of 10 people give us a name, phone number, and email just because we asked. And again, right. It's such an easy thing. You make a sale, ask for another sale. And most people feel uncomfortable because they're like, I'm being greedy. And like, I already got a win. So here I am trying to get another win. But at the end of the day, if you are convicted, it goes back to that. If you believe in what you're selling, you will exactly. do everything in your power to get another person to be, you know, experiencing it as well. So that's the sale duplication system. So yeah, okay. That is the follow-up system kind of like broken down for you step by step.
No, I like that. I like that because even after the sale, like you say, so you sell something to someone, how important is the follow-up, right? Because sometimes people or contact or cold call, they'll reach that person, they don't have a follow-up. How important is that follow-up?
Oh, I mean, it's everything. I think that so many businesses are causing themselves self-imposed stress because they're just simply not doing follow-up. So for example, if you are like, man, my business isn't growing, if only I had more customers, but you see your phone ringing. I had a gardener tell me this, like, he's a landscaper, but he was saying my phone's ringing, but because my hands are dirty, I'm landscaping, I can't get to it and I feel bad. And I'm like, how do you not have like an admin person like responding to this? And, you know, like an operations manager, like you're literally choosing your family to be broke. Like when you press hang up, I choose to be broke. I choose to struggle. I choose to not, you know, take on this customer. And just by just getting an admin person to help you out, you can see exponential sales and growth. And so, it's really a travesty how many, especially blue collar, like I work with a lot of blue collar businesses. They're good at what they do. They're good at landscaping. They're good at room additions. They're good at pools. They're good at, you know, all these home services, and the phone's coming in, but they don't have the manpower to answer it all. And so if they just raise their hand and ask for help and, you know, got a mentor or hired an administrative person to help them with it, they can easily have a seven-figure business. But they choose not to and to stay, you know, stuck in that same place. So, yeah, it's huge. Follow up to you.
It is, man. And also what, because you've had the gym, for people that are probably in the gym business, like, talk to us a little bit about that. I know if you had 6 gyms in 6 years, like you really, you really hustle, man. Like, well, that's like 1 gym per year, man. It's like, you know, what does it take to start? Maybe someone's listening right now and they're like, you know what? I've always thought about having my own gym, but I mean, here in Florida, there's like gyms almost in every corner, right? There's gyms and there's these big franchises. Like, what does it take to get started?
Yeah, I definitely made major mistakes opening that many that fast, because the one thing, I could easily go out and buy dumbbells, I can easily sign a lease, and I can just do all that very quickly. But what I learned, that was the learning lesson that I had to go through and actually have to close one and sell another, was because I didn't scale leadership and culture. And so what I didn't understand was that location one, I was the magic. I was running all the sessions. I was selling all the memberships. I was leading the team. I was, you know, on-site management. And then I got to location two and I could kind of hold it together because I'm going back and forth to each one throughout the week. And then the breakdown started to happen at location three because now I have to just work from home and I have to manage everybody. And so I'm trying to do it, but then there's this opportunity and I got to go for it. Four, you know, I want to dominate Southern California. Wow. And then 5 and then 6 came really quickly after. And essentially, it was a complete nightmare and a huge mistake. And it's because I just thought it was equipment and coaches, equipment and coaches. This is easy. I could do this all day. But what I didn't put in place was a leader. Who calls them out if they're late? Who calls them out if they're disheveled and their hair's messed up? Who's holding the line on standards and culture? And I didn't have anybody. And so gym started having problems. You know, a lot of them were not keeping as many members as I had at location one. I was like, why is this so hard, guys? But I had to remember I was the entrepreneur. So I had a good understanding of all areas. I had to know marketing and sales and coaching and team leadership. And everybody else just came in and they just saw their job. They're like, I'm just a coach. I just take sessions. I don't sell. I don't market. I'm just going to run the sessions and I'm going to go home. And so we had a huge problem and we had to, like I said, go down to 3 very, very quickly. And so essentially what I would say to someone that's new is, number one, do not open a second location until your first location is doing $1 million a year. And that is something you can work on and achieve, but it's going to take time. It's going to take effort, and more is not better. And that's exactly why I'm telling my story. I got to six and I was not making as much money as when I had like one or two that were really maximized in terms of revenue. And it's because your attention is split. And this even goes for business owners that are like, I'm a real estate agent and I have an Airbnb and I sell, you know, on drop ship and I'll do, you know, car detailing on the weekend, and none of them are growing. And you wonder why. It's because you just got to focus on one. And they say, don't diversify until it's doing seven figures in sales. Like, just obsess and get the best you can at it and build a team and build systems and get it to be there. Now you take those skill sets that you learned and now you can move on and you have the skill sets. You branch out too early, you're not ready. And so it's both will fail. So more is not better, better is better, right? So
absolutely.
One gym, maximize it.
that's hey, you learned in the, you had to learn the hard way, unfortunately. You had to learn the hard way. So what, Dustin, what, based on your experience, like what is the common thing? Like, that's very common. That you, this top of your head is that people make mistakes in sales. Like, that's common.
Yeah. The number one thing is that they go in talking about themselves instead of the customer. And sometimes even before you get to that, they're thinking about themselves rather than the customer. So example would be, I'm thinking about, you know, I want to close this deal. I want to earn this commission. I want to get this person to sign up with us. And all those statements started with I want the commission. I want the sale. I want the new customer. And that is not the right way to approach sales, as you're being very selfish. And that's the number one way to scare people away from you. So when you shift your framework from like focusing on them, and you could say, let's see if you are a potential good fit. Let's see if I got something that can help you. Let's see if any of our services are the solution you're looking for. And now I'm very service driven. Now the sales doesn't feel slimy. And so whenever I hang out with somebody that's trying to improve their sales and I say, hey, you know, kind of like tell me what's going on, the first thing I'm listening to is their vocabulary. And their vocabulary is very like, well, I don't like closing. I don't like asking for money. You know, I don't like, you know, pressuring people. I'm like, do you notice any, you know, common language in the last three things you said? And it's all I, right?
That's
the number one thing. You got to shift that self-talk from I, from them. They are going to get this amazing service. They're going to get their life changed. They are going to be a happy customer. And now the pressure goes away magically. So that's the first thing I would say really fumbles a lot of sales. And then the second is a salesperson that just talks too much and doesn't ask enough questions.
Exactly. No, I mean, you're trying to see what their needs are. You got to see what your client or customer or whatever you want to call them, what are their needs? Because you know what your need is. You need, obviously, the sale. You need to make that commission. But, I mean, it's kind of like a car salesman. A car salesman is going to say, okay, what kind of car you want? You know, what's the color, right? Yes. What's your budget? You know, how, what kind of car are you looking for? Your big car, small car, is fast car, slow car? Is it, you know what I'm saying? It's once you get to the find out what that client, what that person needs are, then I, like you said, the sales is a lot easier. Okay, that makes sense, man. And I like the follow-up system that you have, the fortune from the 5x2, right? The 10% database and the sale duplication.
Yes.
Right. Because like you said, when you get that sale, is that person's excited, they're pumped. You want to go ahead and get the next person. Now, when you get that next person, let's say, is there a strategy to probably use? I don't know if I don't know that business, that industry too well, but maybe offer them, hey, listen, if you get this person, we'll get them a discount, blah, blah, blah. Is that something as well?
Yeah. I mean, that's something an owner can absolutely come up with as an incentive, you know. We'll give you your first month half off. We'll give you a t-shirt. We'll give you one free personal training session. And that translates to all businesses. You know, if I'm a lawn care person, I could say, hey, I'll do your hedges first time for free. You know, if I'm a car wash, you know, hey, we're going to detail your tires too. You know, if you refer somebody on your next wash, like anything that the person would normally have to pay for, but it's not, you know, going to be a huge time suck for you or resources suck, and you could give it to them. And then who knows, I'd say, hey, I like this so much, I actually want to stay at this tier and keep me at this, you know, this level of service moving forward. There's a lot of different ways that you can incentivize it, but it's funny. We think that is going to make people move. Sometimes you just don't even have to. We often find just simply asking, like, oh yeah, my so-and-so friend, like most people are not looking to gain something from it. They are happy to just have their friend go through the same experience they did. And, you know, again, organic situations, like we talked about, restaurant, Netflix, you don't expect anything from them. If you got something, it'd be a cool bonus, but that's not the motivation behind it, right?
Right. Okay, cool. So, hey, Dustin, before we leave, you do have a podcast. What is the podcast? What's the name of it?
Yes. So I love me some puns, and I called it Lunch with a Punch. And it's because I was often going live on Facebook around lunchtime for my clients and giving them actionable advice. So when I started this show, I just said, hey, I'm going to carry that over. It's unique. I don't have to worry about if someone's got it like trademarked or anything.
Exactly.
And so I talk a lot about these subjects on there. And then I also do in my book, which is going to be dropping here in a couple of weeks, called Reinforce Your Gym. So if anybody is looking to get specifically into the gym industry, this will teach you everything you need to know to open a gym. And if you already have one, how to maximize the sales. But to be honest, Angel, because I know everyone who listens to this is not going to, you know, likely be from the fitness industry. There is a lot of sales advice that can have crossover. And that's the fortune follow-up.
Yeah.
Although we use it in the gym industry, I could use it for any industry. Talking about them and learning about their industry. So, yeah.
No, most definitely. That's why I took notes, because, I mean, I understand what you're talking about. And as far as that structure, that system, and it's like you said, I believe that we're all in some shape or form into some kind of sales, regardless. We're selling something, or we're selling something for somebody else. Okay, and your podcast now is on YouTube as well, right? And it airs.
Yeah, if you want to watch the video, you can watch on YouTube. It's on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, all the major places. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So have your website there. And then Dustin, and when they go to your website, they could sign up for like a follow-up call, or, you know, contact you and whatnot.
Yeah, you can join if you want more like sales advice. I got my email list where I give out every week free sales advice. And then you can also, you know, I do speaking engagements if people want me to come in and speak to their sales team or to teach, you know, how to do this at a higher level. And then finally, you can book a call with me if you feel like you would benefit from Gym Reinforcement Services, where we do your lead follow-up, we do your sales for you. So that's essentially, you know, what we do. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're in the Dallas area, right? Just in case someone maybe is in the Texas area right now.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. My gyms are in California. I recently moved to Texas, so I kind of go back and forth between both. But yeah, if anybody wants to connect locally, always down for that.
Okay, cool, man. Hey, Dustin, man, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate your time. I know time is valuable, so I'm going to let you go. But I'm definitely going to have all your links in the description below for the YouTube channel. And, man, it's been an honor to have you here, man. I appreciate you. And I'll be looking for that book sometime in the future. When is the book coming out?
Yeah. 2 weeks from now. Tentatively March 14th. Yep.
So, man, I had one of my guests a couple shows ago that everyone I talked to is either releasing a new book or they're thinking about coming out with a book on this podcast. He said, you should change your podcast to like launch your book podcast or something.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, man, listen. Yeah. Good luck with everything, man. Good luck with your book. Much success to you and your family. Blessings to everyone, man. And thank you for your time. You take care, right?
Same to you, buddy. Appreciate you, man.
All right, man. You take care. All right, folks. So there you have it. As usual, you can always listen to the audio download on all the social media platforms, wherever you get your podcasts and your music as well. Okay, you can follow me on Twitter under Angel Santos 75 and Instagram under Angel Santos Podcast. So thank you for tuning in. Follow on Facebook, YouTube, subscribe to the channel, man. Subscribe. Because there's a lot of content out there that you want to listen to that's either has to do with sales, anything with entrepreneurship, sales, and a lot more good stuff there. So before we leave, I do want to leave you with a quote. I seen a quote this week, and I want to share it with you guys. And it's from a gentleman named James Uni. And it says, if the truth makes you uncomfortable, don't blame the truth. Blame the lie that made you comfortable. So there you have it. Meditate on that for a little bit, because that's powerful. I was sharing that with my social medias because that was very interesting. So, guys, I'll see you in the next episode of the Young Entrepreneur Mindset Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I'll see you next time. God bless. Be safe.